Kraft presents the Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. It's a good idea these days to shop early. Early in the week, early in the day. By avoiding rush hours, you save your own time and your food dealer's valuable time. Also, your dealer is more likely to have the good-tasting, nourishing foods that you want to buy. That's especially true of Parquet margarine, the quality spread for bread that's made by Kraft. Parquet margarine has such a delicate, satisfying flavor, and is so downright nourishing, too. It's in a big demand everywhere. Of course, that's largely because Parquet margarine tastes so good as a spread for bread. But there's another important reason Parquet is in such big demand. Parquet is an economical, high-energy food that is fortified by Kraft so that every pound contains 9,000 units of vitamin A. So tomorrow, shop early for delicious, nourishing Parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine. Remember, it's made by Kraft. We take you now to Summerfield and that mighty campaigner and erstwhile lover, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Up to now, it might be said that his campaign for mayor has been even more erstwhile than his love affairs. But with the political machine lined up against him and with Eve Goodwin spurring him on, he has really gone into action. Let's follow him now down Main Street as he carries his fight to the people.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Fine morning.
Yeah, what do you want?
Evidently, you don't know who I am. Allow me, my card. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. I'm a candidate
for... Oh, yeah, Mr. Gildersleeve. Yeah, excuse me. I'm in a hurry. Got to get to the bank before it closes.
Oh, well.
Hi there, Gildy.
Oh, hello. Say, by the way...
Sorry, old man. Got to rush.
Well... Hello, goodbye. Oh, well. Well, hello there, Sonny. My, that's a fine boy you've got there, madam. How old are you, Sonny? Can he talk?
Say hello to the nice man, Irwin. Say hello.
Bashful. How would you like a nice button, Sonny? See, it says Gildersleeve for mayor. Pretty, huh? Go on, take it. Fine boy.
Irwin, don't put that in your mouth, Irwin!
Oh, here, let me. Spit it out, Sonny. Come on, spit it out. Irwin!
How dare you? How dare you shake my child?
But, madam, he might have swallowed it.
He wouldn't have swallowed it if you hadn't given it to him.
But...
Come on, darling. Never mind the nasty man.
Ugh. There goes her vote. Oh, well. Who's this coming down the street? Looks like Hank Ludlam. What do you say, Hank? Glad to see you. Say, have you got a minute?
Sure.
I'm glad somebody's not in a rush. Have a cigar.
Oh, well. Gee, thanks.
I guess you heard about me running for mayor, didn't you, Hank?
Yeah, that's great. Say, did you see what the Cardinals did to the Pirates last week? Boy, wasn't that something?
I guess so. Now, about my campaign. I'm not going to try to influence you, Hank. Every man has a right to make up his mind for himself. So I'm not going to ask you any embarrassing questions about who you're for.
Oh, I'm for the Cardinals. They're the only ones that stand a chance. All the others, the Yankees, the Dodgers, they got nobody left.
Hank, I'm trying to talk to you.
You can talk all you like. My money's on the Cards.
Oh, for... Give me back that cigar. Oh,
well, gosh, you don't have to get sore.
The Cardinals. I don't know what this country's coming to. Madam, you look like an intelligent woman. Could I ask your kind attention for one brief moment?
I'm sorry, but I've got to get right over to the market. I hear they've got soap powder. Excuse me.
Soap powder. By George, I've stood about all of this I'm going to. I'll try one more. Pardon me.
One side, bud.
Just a minute. Not so fast. I've got something to say, and you're going to listen to me. I'm running for mayor of this town, and I've got a right to be heard.
Why don't you hire a haul?
By George, I've got a good mind to. And that is why I say to you, the time has come. The time has come to think about these things. Yes, the time has come to face the issues of the day and face them unflinchingly. But are we doing it? No. Like the proverbial ostrich, we've buried our heads in the sand. We're living in a fool's paradise, all of us.
No, I wouldn't say that.
It's true, Peavy. I've been campaigning all day, and you're the only one I've found who would listen to me.
Well, I'm always glad to listen to you, Mr. Gildersleeve, business permitting. It's been a little slow today.
What I want to know is, what does a man have to do to get a hearing in this town? Do I have to get a soapbox and go out and beat a drum?
Well, those things take time, Mr. Gildersleeve. Everything takes time.
Time? There is no time. The primaries are on June 20th. That's only 2 months away. If I'm going to get the nomination, I've got to get started. I've got to get rolling.
Well, as I say, it all takes time. You know the old saying, time and tide wait for no man.
That's just it. That's just what I'm telling you.
Oh, well, I guess that's the wrong saying. It seems to me there's another old saying, but I've forgotten it.
This is no time for old sayings, Peavy. Here I am, a candidate. I've got my platform. I've got my campaign buttons. I've got my speeches. I'm open for business and ready to go. And nobody will listen to me.
Well, you have to realize, Mr. Gildersleeve, everything takes time.
I believe you said that.
Now, take my own case. I remember when I first went into business here. That was a good many years ago. I recall the first day I opened up. Recall it well. Nobody came near the place.
What did you do?
I just sat here. And the second day, the same thing. And the third day. And the fourth. And the fifth. And the sixth.
What about the seventh day?
Oh, that was Sunday. I was closed.
Well, when did things begin to pick up?
Well, it was about Tuesday of the second week. I remember it as if it were yesterday. A woman came in and asked me how often the trolley ran.
That was all?
Well, that was all the business I did that day.
You call that business?
Well, it was goodwill. You have to think about that. The day after, a man came in and asked to make a phone call. I didn't have the booth in then, but I let him use mine. Just a courtesy.
You can't live on courtesy.
Oh, but wait. The next morning, a lady came in and weighed herself. And that same afternoon, I sold some postage stamps. And from then on, well, I guess I ought to knock wood. So you see, Mr. Gildersleeve, it doesn't pay to be too impatient. If you take my advice...
If I take your advice, Peavy, I'll get the nomination in 1980. Goodbye.
Oh, going, Mr. Gildersleeve? Well, good luck.
Leroy?
Huh?
Give me the evening paper, please.
Oh, it's right there on the floor.
I see it, Leroy. It just so happens I prefer to read it sitting in a chair, not crouching on all fours.
Okay. Oh, yeah, here's an invitation for you.
Invitation?
From my teacher. Everybody had to bring it home to their parent or guardian.
Oh. You are cordially invited to attend the public school ceremonies in observance of Arbor Day at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. A tree contributed by the Summerfield Nursery Company will be planted at this time, and it is hoped as many parents as possible will be present.
Will you come, Unc?
No, Leroy. I'm too busy to run around watching people stick trees in the ground.
Leroy, did you take the hand glass off my dresser? I know you did. What have you done with it? Good evening, Uncle Mort.
Hello, my dear. What's all this?
Leroy took my hand glass without permission, and now I can't find it.
Oh, for corn's sake!
Where is the hand glass, Leroy?
Over at Piggy's.
Young man, you have no business taking your sister's belongings. You'll go without your allowance on Saturday.
Aw, gee, Unc.
And if I hear any argument, no allowance the Saturday after.
Gosh, that's not an argument.
What on earth did you take my glass for, anyhow?
We needed it for a heliograph. How do you expect me to learn the Morse code if I can't even have a heliograph?
I never heard of a heliograph.
It's an airplane that jumps off the ground.
An airplane? Boy, are you ignorant.
I am not.
You are alongside of me.
Go over to Piggy's and get my glass.
I won't.
Stop it! You're behaving like children.
That's all Leroy is.
Well, you're no better.
Well, Leroy hasn't even done his homework.
I have too. And besides, it's none of your business.
Leroy.
You little creep.
Marjorie. By George, I'll cut off your allowance too.
You wouldn't dare.
No allowance Saturday.
Oh, you're mean. You're the meanest man that ever lived.
Ugh. Now look what you've done, Leroy. What's this about homework?
I had to write a composition about Arbor Day. It's all done. You don't have to worry about it.
Let me see it. And it had better be good.
It's pretty good. See? It's all in ink.
That's not important. It's what you say that's important. Let's see. The celebration of Arbor Day has given great impetus to the science of silviculture in the United States. Leroy.
What is it, Unc?
What is the science of silviculture?
I don't know.
Leroy, did you crib this composition?
Oh, no. I copied it from the encyclopedia.
It goes right in the wastebasket. Young man, that's worse than stealing. You're cheating your teacher, you're cheating yourself, and you're cheating the man who wrote the article.
Gosh, Unc, I didn't think...
You must learn to think. No allowance for two Saturdays.
But, Unc, the second Saturday is the day of the circus.
I can't help it.
Oh, gosh. Now I won't be able to go to the circus. Oh, gosh.
Darn family.
Well, Mr. Gillsleeve, supper's ready. Are you in the mood to enjoy a little pot roast?
No, Bertie.
Mr. Gillsleeve, that's your favorite. With mashed potatoes?
I hate pot roast. I hate mashed potatoes. I hate the world. Leroy, Marjorie, come down to supper.
Well, Mr. Gillsleeve, you did better with the dinner than you expected.
Yes, Bertie, I guess I must have been hungry. More potatoes, Leroy?
No, thanks.
Marjorie?
No, thanks.
What's the matter with these children, anyway?
Well, they're upset, Bertie. It's possible that it's partly my fault. Now, Marjorie, you've got to get used to discipline. Do you think I was unreasonable?
Yes.
Do you think I was unreasonable, Leroy?
Are you kidding?
I've asked you not to use that expression, young man. In my opinion, I was not unreasonable, merely firm. Marjorie defied me. Leroy offended me in several ways. Bertie, I'll leave it to you.
I'd just as soon stay out of it if you don't mind, Mr. Gillsleeve. When a man's been unreasonable, he don't want to hear anybody say so.
Are you implying I was unreasonable, Bertie?
No, sir. I'm staying out of it. All I know is these children didn't eat their supper, and I think that's a shame.
Now, Bertie!
I'll go.
Stay here and eat something. Let Bertie go.
Some folks pick the strangest times to drop in for a visit. You'd think they'd have more sense. Oh, it's you, Judge. Good evening.
Good evening, Bertie. Don't worry, I've had supper. Is Mr. Gildersleeve at home?
Yes, sir. Come right in.
Thank you. Well, good evening, Gildersleeve, Marjorie, Leroy.
Hello, Hooker.
Hello, Judge.
Hiya, Judge.
Pull up a chair.
Thank you. Well, Gildy, the old fox has done it again.
He has, huh?
Yes, sir. This time I've really pulled a fast one.
What are you talking about?
Your campaign. What do you think?
I don't want to hear any more about my campaign. I'm tired of campaigning.
How the dickens can you be tired? You haven't done any campaigning yet. But wait till you hear what I've arranged. You are going to be the principal speaker at the Arbor Day celebration tomorrow afternoon.
Arbor Day. A bunch of school kids watching somebody stick a measly little tree into an early grave.
You're all wrong, Gildy. There'll be 200 or 300 parents there, most of them voters.
200 or 300, you say?
There were at least 300 there last year when I made the principal address.
If it got around I was going to speak, there might be a real turnout.
It'll get around. I've already notified the paper.
Well, that's pretty good work, Judge.
I'm getting into my campaign stride now, Gildy. I'll make you mayor of this town whether the voters want you or not.
They'll want me. All I need is an audience.
And a speech.
Oh, don't worry. I'll give them a straight-from-the-shoulder talk that'll let them know just where I stand. Taxation, local improvements, post-war planning, the whole business. And I won't pull any punches.
Gildy, I'm surprised at you. Sometimes I wonder whether you'll ever be a politician.
Why? What's the matter now?
On an occasion like Arbor Day, a political candidate should say nothing.
But I'm the principal speaker.
Exactly. What the people expect from you is just a few pleasant remarks about trees and flowers and nature. It's not an occasion to stir up trouble by talking about a lot of controversial subjects.
I guess you're right, Judge.
On Arbor Day, talk about Arbor Day. Then at least you're sure you won't lose any votes.
By George, you're pretty smart, Horace. I'm lucky to have you in my corner.
Just leave it to the old fox. Well, I've got to run. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Judge.
Good night, Marjorie. Good night, Leroy.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night, Judge. I'm much obliged.
Good night, Gildy. Write a good speech.
Yes, sir. The old goat is pretty smart. Now, come on, you kids. Cheer up. Things aren't so bad.
That's easy enough for you to say.
Well, now, maybe I was a little unreasonable before supper. If I thought you'd learned your lesson...
I've learned it. Honest, I have, Unc.
Marjorie?
Well, I'm sorry I lost my temper.
All right. I'll suspend your sentences. Now, how about a little dessert?
Oh, boy!
I'm hungry.
So am I. Oh, Bertie! By George, there's only one thing worse than making a speech, and that's writing it. Still, I've got to have something. I can't just get up on that platform and make it up as I... By George, I wonder. Where did I throw that? Here. Yes, sir. Here it is. Well, now, this might be a pretty good speech. Ladies and gentlemen, the celebration of Arbor Day has given great impetus to the science of silviculture in the United States. Little Leroy.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds. Hard work and play is the order of the day, and that, of course, puts extra demands on the family commissary for good, nourishing foods. Help provide your family with some of that vital energy they need by serving parquet margarine at every meal. Be sure to include parquet margarine in lunchbox sandwiches, too, because this good-tasting spread for bread is also one of America's best energy foods. And parquet margarine is also a dependable year-round source of vitamin A. All through the year, Kraft fortifies parquet so that every pound contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. So serve parquet margarine whenever possible for its grand flavor goodness and for the splendid nourishment it helps provide. Put parquet on tomorrow's grocery list for sure. Buy parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine. A nutritious spread for America's bread. Made by Kraft. Well, let's get back now to Summerfield and its Arbor Day ceremonies. On the lawn in front of the schoolhouse, a sturdy little tree with its roots wrapped in burlap stands ready to be launched into the hole that has been dug for it. Parents wander about the school grounds while the children are held captive in their various classrooms, awaiting the signal to march out. And upstairs in the principal's office, the speaker of the day confers with the principal, Miss Goodwin.
You know, Eve, this gives me a funny feeling.
What does?
Being here in your office, seeing all these files and things. Somehow I never think of you as the principal of a school.
Well, I choose to take that as a compliment.
Oh, it is, believe me. I mean, all this is a side of you I very seldom think of.
What side of me do you think of, Throgmorton?
Hey, Unc! Oh.
Leroy, how many times have I told you to knock before you open a door?
Sorry, Unc.
Leroy, why aren't you in your classroom waiting with the others?
Why aren't I in my classroom? Well, it was so long, and the teacher...
I'd suggest that you go back to your classroom and remain there until you have permission.
Yes, Leroy.
But, Unc, I just...
Leroy!
Okay.
And close the door after you. By George, that boy. I don't know.
I didn't mean to be so short with him.
That's what he needs.
But there was something I wanted to talk with you about, Throckmorton, alone, before you go out there to make your speech.
Well, I wasn't really going to make a speech, Eve. Just say a few nice little things about, you know, trees and nature and all. Great oaks from little acorns and so on.
But I think you should make a speech.
You do?
There are things that need to be said, Throckmorton. Who's going to say them if you don't?
Well, nobody, I guess. But what should I talk about?
Well, all the parents will be there. I'd like to have you talk to them about the school and what the mayor and his friends have done to our appropriation.
By George, I'll do it. What'll I say, Eve?
Just tell them what you know about it, as a member of the school board. Tell them we need more money.
I'll not only tell them that, I'll tell them who's holding it up. I'll tell them how the mayor's packed the school board with his own friends. Old mossbacks like Cyrus Egan.
Oh, I'd be a little careful there, Throckmorton. I meant to warn you.
What for?
Mr. Egan is going to be one of our speakers today at the tree exercises.
All the better. Just put me on after him, Eve. That's all I ask. Just let me follow him.
Oh, Throckmorton.
I'm not afraid of Egan or anybody else. Bring on your Egan. Bring on Terwilliger. Bring on the whole city hall.
Like a knight in shining armor.
With you behind me, Eve, how can I lose? I can't. I just know it. Just as sure as I'm standing here, when June 20th comes around, I'll be nominated. You watch. I just know it.
Oh, I know it too, Throckmorton.
And you know what that means if I get the nomination. I'm as good as elected.
I know that too.
And if I'm elected, you haven't forgotten what you promised.
No, Throckmorton. I haven't forgotten.
Eve?
Yes, darling?
Darling. That's the first time you've ever called me that.
That's not the first time I've thought it.
What was I going to say now? Oh, Eve?
Yes?
June is a much better month for a wedding than November.
Throckmorton, we made a bargain now.
I know, but if I'm nominated in June, I'm as good as elected. You said so yourself. So why can't we...
The reason I made that bargain was because I know, and you know, that there's a lazy streak in you, Throckmorton.
Now, Eve!
Oh, yes, there is. Admit it now.
Well, about some things, maybe, but I'm serious about this, Eve. I'm definitely going through with it, definitely.
I'm glad.
Come on. Say you'll marry me in June, Eve. Come on.
We'll see.
June 21st, the day after the primary. How about it?
Well... I don't know that I can trust you, Throckmorton.
If I get the nomination, how about it? June 21st? June 22nd? June 23rd?
Suppose we talk about it in June.
Aw, you don't love me.
You silly boy.
Prove it then. Show me.
I know only one way to prove it.
What's that?
Well, if you can't take a hint.
Come here.
Oh, pardon me.
Eve!
Who was that?
I don't know. My back was turned, didn't you?
My eyes were closed. Something tells me, Throckmorton, we'd better get back to Arbor Day.
But Eve!
Come along, the people are waiting.
Oh, fiddlesticks!
And so may I say to you in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen...
He's concluded three times already.
Hush.
May I say in conclusion that I hope this tree we've planted here today may grow into a great sturdy oak.
It's an elm.
Oh, yes. May it grow into a great sturdy elm, like that famous elm under which George Washington stood. May it grow with Summerfield, and may Summerfield grow with it. I thank you.
Brother, I could make a better speech than that in my sleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure we're very grateful to Mr. Egan for his eloquent address with its message of hope for our future growth. Our next speaker is a gentleman known to many of you, I'm sure. He's been Summerfield's water commissioner for the past 2 years.
Yay, Unc!
He is also a member of the school board, where I found him always most cooperative, sympathetic, and alive to community needs.
Well,
it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mr. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Thank you, thank you. Miss Goodwin, ladies and gentlemen, pupils of the Summerfield Grammar School, I am very happy to be here with you today. If I were not up here on this platform, I would be occupying a seat down there with my nephew Leroy. Frankly, I would rather be here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to talk about the trees and the flowers. I'm going to talk about something important. It concerns every parent that is here today, and every parent in Summerfield. The education of our children. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to pay our teachers higher salaries. The cost of living is rising. Our teachers have been miserably paid for years. They've got to have more money, and I know who the people are that are preventing it. The time has come to name names. And it's mossbacks like Mayor Terwilliger and reactionaries like Cyrus Egan here who would rather waste the money on other things. Now, when I am the mayor...
Now, just a minute, Gildersleeve.
Sit down, Egan. I've got the floor.
I'm not going to sit still while you insult me.
Oh, gentlemen, please.
I'll handle this. Have you got something to say, Egan?
I certainly have. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps I can explain why Mr. Gildersleeve is so anxious to get the teachers' salaries increased.
I want them increased because they're too low.
I have the floor.
You have not.
Shall I tell them what I saw going on in the principal's office just a few minutes ago?
I don't know what you're talking about, you blackmailer.
Oh, yes, you do. Ladies and gentlemen, half an hour ago, I accidentally interrupted Mr. Gildersleeve and Miss Goodwin in a very compromising situation.
Oh, there was nothing compromising about it.
Well, just what was going on?
I was kissing her, you snoop! Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was kissing Miss Goodwin, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'll leave it to you. Is it a crime for a man to kiss the woman he loves? The woman he intends to marry? Come here, Eve.
Oh, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if she'll do me the honor, I hope to make this lady my wife. I don't want to raise her salary. I want to marry her and raise a family. Eve, come on over here where we'll be out of the way. Well, what do you think of your knight in shining armor now, Eve? Guess I really told that fella Egan off, didn't I? Eve, what's the matter?
Throckmorton, I was never so humiliated in my life.
Why, Eve, I was just trying to protect your good name.
Really?
I mean, Eve, listen to me.
Let me alone, Throckmorton, please.
You mean it's all off? You mean even if I get to be mayor?
I don't know, Throckmorton. I just don't know.
Eve!
Please, I've got to be alone. I've got to think.
But Eve! Eve! Oh, let her go. I give up. I give up. How do I get into these things? Ugh. How do I get out of them? Well, Marjorie, writing a letter? I thought you were going out.
I am in just a minute. I wanted to get this off to Ben. You remember Ben.
Ben Waterford, of course. He's in the Navy.
I wrote to him a couple of weeks ago. Just a little note in the V-mail. And today I got an answer. It made me feel so ashamed I hadn't written before.
Why should you feel ashamed?
Wait till you hear what he says in this letter. Dear Marjorie, it sure was swell hearing from you after all this time. I thought you were mad at me.
Old Ben. Who'd be mad at him?
Anyway, he says, you'd be surprised the kick there is in getting a letter, even from a girl you're not engaged to. I guess you can't imagine what it's like in the Navy. I'm on an ocean, but I can't tell you which one, and I'm on a boat, but I can't say what kind. We go for long cruises, but I can't tell you how long. But when you stand watch every night from midnight to 4 a.m., just standing there by yourself, looking at the ocean, you get to thinking about home. And when mail comes, gosh, Marjorie, it's like seeing old friends. It's like kidding with the old gang. It's like a kiss from your mother or your girl. Well, I must close now, but I wanted you to know that when I saw that V-mail envelope with your handwriting, it meant something. I sure would like to hear from you again.
By George, I'll write Ben a little note myself. Have Leroy write one, too. And you, ladies and gentlemen, is there someone in the service you could be writing with news from home? If there is, write tonight and use V-mail, because V-mail is sure to reach him, and it saves shipping space we need for food and guns. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was under the direction of Claude Sweeten. This is Charles Lister speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of the Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as the Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie and Lisette Ralph as Bertie. Nick Helton was the judge. Janet Whitaker played Eve Goodwin. And yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. Aaron Hiles played Cyrus Egan. Also in our cast, you heard John Greenway, Kim Turner, Laurelyn Lahr, Michael Mulkey O'Reilly, Susie Hutchison, and David Hiles. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison speaking and inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.